Well, good morning, City View, and good morning to everyone watching online. I don't know about you, but after that amazing description of what happens if you join the City View choir, I'm thinking you're all going to sign up. This is going to be the most beautiful, intelligent, wise church in the country. Okay, well, I just pray this morning that God will anoint me to bring you good news today, that this message that I've got will encourage you and uplift you, and that you would act upon the word delivered this morning. Amen? Amen. Right, well, let's begin straight away with a scripture. Turn with me to Mark 1, verses 40 to 42, and it'll be up on the screen. A man with leprosy came to him, meaning Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Throughout history, few diseases have been as dreaded as much as the horrible affliction of leprosy. Leprosy was greatly feared by the Israelites, not only because of the physical damage done by the disease, but also because of the strict isolation laws applying to leprosy, making patients feel like feared outcasts of society. Torah law demanded that lepers wear torn clothes and covered their mouths and let their hair hang loose and call out, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere they went. And they had to live in isolation from the general community. The person with leprosy was also considered to be ritually or spiritually unclean, and they had to maintain a distance of 50 paces from other people. If a leper touched another person or was touched by them, the other person was considered unclean until examined by a priest and pronounced clean. In other words, that both the disease and the ritual or the spiritual impurity were considered catching. The afflicted person was unable to work and was thus reduced to begging. Most likely his family was also reduced to begging. The medical problem was terrible, but the social consequences added a crushing weight to an already awful condition. And this was the situation that the leper found himself in on the day that he approached Jesus. To his good fortune, Jesus happened to be in the same town as he, and he wasn't going to let this opportunity pass him by. He decided to go and see him. Perhaps Jesus would heal him. Imagine how he would have felt when he finally saw him standing there. There he is. His heart would have been flooded with hope and fear for what he was about to do. You see, he wasn't sure if Jesus would help him. But I have this picture of the leper seeing his chance and just running towards Jesus, shouting, "Unclean, unclean," and the disciples just parting in horror as they realize that he's coming straight towards them. The leper throws himself on his knees in front of Jesus, begging for help from the one who could help him. "If you are willing, you can make me clean," he cried. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The leper was totally convinced that Jesus had the ability to make him clean. There was no doubt in his mind. That's what gave him the courage to boldly approach Jesus that day. But the risk he had taken hinged on whether Jesus would be willing to do so. That he actually wasn't so sure of. You see, a leprous body was thought to be the sign of a leprous soul. And that is why a priest and not a doctor had to pronounce you cured and clean, because they believed it affected your spiritual life. But here he was. He'd broken the 50 paces rule. He was kneeling right in front of Jesus. He was risking everything. He looked Jesus in the eyes and he said, "You can make me clean if you want to." And you know what? To his relief, Jesus did not move away. In fact, he moved towards the leper, this man that people had shunned and ran from or threw things at to move him on. This outcast, this contagious, dirty, spiritually unclean leper, Jesus reached out his beautiful, clean hand and he touched him. It was probably the first touch that he had felt in many years, and it was from Jesus. He touched him before he spoke. That touch, I think, would have healed his battered and bruised soul. Everyone else was afraid to touch him, but not Jesus. And did you notice that the leper didn't ask Jesus to heal him? Instead, he asked to be made clean, which of course in itself would include physical healing. But I think more than anything, he craved to be clean, to join society again. He longed to have human contact and human touch again. You know, by Jewish law, Jesus made himself unclean by touching that man. Yet Jesus wanted to show compassion, the compassion that he felt in a way that this man could understand. That touch connected to the man's deepest emotional need, and it bridged the barrier that enforced this man's isolation. That touch went deep into his heart. Then the words the leper had been waiting for spilled from the mouth of Jesus. "I am willing, be clean." And the Bible tells us that immediately the leprosy left the man and he was cleansed. We can only imagine, you know, how that man felt. I'm sure many emotions ran through his mind, you know, gratitude, relief, excitement, hope again for his future. This miracle changed the whole course of this man's life. And the beauty of that story also is that Jesus wasn't made unclean by touching the leper. In fact, the opposite. The leper was made clean by the beautiful touch from Jesus. The leper had taken a huge risk. He was sure Jesus could heal him, but he wasn't sure he would. However, as we just heard, Jesus was willing and he did it. You know, another time, sometime later, Jesus came across a group of people arguing with his disciples. And when Jesus asked what they were arguing about, a man came forward and he told Jesus about his son. His son was possessed by an evil spirit. He had brought him to the disciples, but they weren't able to do anything. His son was in a terrible condition. He was mute and he suffered from severe seizures. The spirit often threw him into convulsions, making him foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth in great pain and misery. The convulsions were so violent, they were frightening to watch. He would often be flung into water or into the fire by the spirit, which could easily, fatally harm him. This father has had a long history with his son suffering from this demon possession. He's obviously had to be alert at all times, lest the demon succeed in killing his son. I don't know how old the son is, but I imagine him to be around late teens or 20 years old, because the father said that he had suffered since childhood. So I assume he's not a young child any longer. And If you've ever looked after a sick child, you will know how heartbreaking it is to see them suffer and you can't do anything. That father was in great distress. And I know that he would have tried every avenue available to him to have his son relieved of this terrible affliction. He would have been to every doctor, to every priest, to every exorcist. He even went to the disciples. But he was sadly disappointed. Even they were not able to cast out this long-standing demonic presence from his son. And you know, Jesus, he was really angry with his disciples because he had given them the power and the authority to be able to cast out demons. They should have been able to do it. Why couldn't they? Jesus later explained to them that this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. In other words, had his disciples been maintaining, as Jesus did, a life of prayer and intimacy with God, then their faith and their spiritual authority could have dealt successfully with this case. But the father had been disappointed many times over the years. No one, it seemed, was able to help his son, not even the disciples. Everyone had given it a go. They were all willing to help, but to no avail. It had been going on for so long. He was tired and disillusioned. Maybe Jesus could help. Who knows? When the evil spirit saw Jesus, though, he threw the boy into another convulsion. And Mark 9, verse 21 to 22 says, Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It is often thrown him in the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." The father wasn't sure that Jesus had the power to cast out that demon. After all, you know, his disciples had failed. He said, "If you can do anything." He was sure Jesus was willing to try, but not so sure that he would succeed. And I guess he based that assumption on all his previous failed experiences. He still had a little hope because he kept trying to find the answer. That's what parents do. I know. He needed to have some hope for his son. But that hope had not yet turned into faith in the ability and power of Jesus to accomplish what he'd been wanting since his son was a young child, to have him set free and healed. And in the next verse, verse 23, Jesus repeats the man's own words back to him. "If you can," as if to say, "Do you know who you're talking to?" But then he says, "Everything is possible for him who believes." You know, when I read these personal encounters between Jesus and individuals, I'm reminded how merciful and full of grace Jesus is. Remember the leper? He was longing for human interaction, human contact. And the first thing Jesus did was to do the unthinkable. He touched him. And oh, what a touch that would have been. Well, you know, this father had been seeking help for his son for years and years. Each attempt was met with failure. Each failure to deliver his son had chipped away at his faith and belief that anyone could help. Of course he would keep trying, keep searching for the answer, but the reality of finding that seemed more and more remote with each passing year. His hope was still hanging in there a little bit, but his faith was taking a hit. That's what Jesus could see in the man. And he spoke straight to that need. "Everything is possible for him who believes." And it was like an arrow of illumination shot straight into the heart of the father. The realization that unbelief had been eroding his faith. And it was a shock. Disappointments over time can slowly do that to you. Maybe you don't even realise it. It's gradual, like the frog in the pot of cold water that slowly heats up until it's boiling. But the frog doesn't jump out because he's getting used to the warmer water, and then he dies. Well, thank goodness this man decided to jump straight out of that pot of boiling unbelief. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And that confession can sound like it doesn't make sense. I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. But the father heard about the healings that had been taking place both by the disciples and by Jesus. And he believed in them. But in his heart, I think he didn't believe that they could do anything for his son. Yes, others could be helped, but my experience is, not my boy, that's too hard. However, we know nothing is too hard or impossible for Jesus. Amen? So Jesus, he rebuked the evil spirit and commanded it never to return, and his son was delivered and set free. Jesus was definitely willing to help. And of course, he had all the necessary power and authority to help. And he did help. Hallelujah. So those are two good news, true stories, aren't they? They have great endings. And those two stories inspired the title of this sermon, which is called Can, Willing, Done. Jesus can meet your needs. He has all the power, all the authority, all the riches. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Jesus is he's willing to help you. And Jesus has already done it, you know. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He'd accomplished everything he came here to do. And everything he did for you. So if you have been in a battle for some time and you haven't yet received your breakthrough, then you need to keep listening, because we can all learn something from the leper and the father that might help us achieve our own breakthroughs. So let me ask you a question. How do you pray to Jesus? How do you pray for your needs? Like the leper, who had faith that he was able, but he wondered if he was willing. Oh Lord, if it be your will. Or do you pray like the father of the demon-possessed boy, who had faith that Jesus was willing, but you doubted whether he was actually able to do anything? Oh Lord, if you can do anything. If you're like the leper, you would be filled with confidence that God can meet all your needs. After all, it says in Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Yes, God can do it. But then there's that nagging doubt, that voice that says, "Oh, but will he?" You're just not sure if God is willing to actually come through for you. And you know what? That's actually a problem. Because James 1, verses 6 to 8 says, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does." So something really struck me when the leper went to Jesus. The leper was positive Jesus had the power to heal him, but he was not only suffering physically, he was also considered spiritually unclean in his leprous state. And even that spiritual uncleanness was considered contagious, he was literally untouchable. So, would Jesus even give him a second look? Would Jesus shun him and reject him and send him away? These are the things he was unsure about. But nevertheless, he decided to take the huge risk and present his insecurities along with himself to Jesus. And Jesus saw the condition of the man in a moment. He saw his physical condition. He saw the spiritual implications. He saw his emotional insecurities and his incomplete faith. The faith that said, I know you can, but I'm not sure that you will. And this is what I see, that Jesus took that insecure and he changed it. He did that before he healed the leper. He got rid of that double-mindedness. He did that by reaching out and touching him, the untouchable. He reached out and he touched the untouchable. And then he assured him with his words that he was willing. Then he said, be clean. And it was done. The same thing happened with the father of the demon-possessed boy. The father was convinced that Jesus would be willing to try to deliver his son. However, he wasn't sure that he could do it. He had just a little bit of an incomplete faith. Jesus saw that and he made the father see it too. When the father expressed his doubt in Jesus' ability by saying, if you can do anything, Jesus repeated those words back to him as if to say, why do you say, if I can? And then he said, everything is possible for him who believes, making the father realize his double-mindedness, which caused the father to exclaim, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Then Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and commanded it to leave the boy and never to return. Before Jesus healed the leper or released the boy from demon possession, he dealt with their unbelief. He didn't reject them because of it. I want to say that again. He didn't reject them because of it. He addressed it. And Jesus wants to do that for you today. Jesus wants to say to you also, he can help you. He is willing to help you. And he has already done it at the cross. Everything is possible for those that believe. So it's time to stop being double-minded. It's time to take a risk and believe with all your mind and your heart and your soul and believe the word of God, believe the victory at the cross, that nothing is impossible for God, that nothing is too hard for God. So if you are unsure whether Jesus is willing to help you, then I want to pray for you because Jesus is saying very clearly today that he is willing. He just wants you to see that and believe it. And if you're not sure that Jesus can do anything about your problem or your situation, maybe you've been praying a long time and no change yet. Maybe you've been disappointed so many times you've given up hope. You've decided it's too hard even for God. Well, I want to pray for you too, because Jesus hasn't given up on you and he can help, and he just wants you to see that and believe that too. He can do it. He is willing to do it. And he's already done it. So if you can see that you've been in this battle between belief and unbelief and you want breakthrough, I'd like you to raise your hand and let me pray for you. Let's deal with our unbelief this morning. Let's bring it to Jesus and allow him to convince you that he can help you and he is willing to help you. I don't want anyone to leave here this morning continuing in their battle of unbelief and belief, being tossed here and there by the waves of uncertainty. We want to see breakthrough in our lives, to be truly convinced of the goodness of God and the power and authority of God. So if you would like prayer for that today, if you are struggling in that area, then I would like to pray for you. Is there anyone that would like to receive prayer? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to be included in this prayer? I see you up the back. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Dear Lord, you see these people here today who have raised their hands. Lord, they have brought their unbelief to you. Lord, I brought mine also. Lord, we just pray for forgiveness. And we say like the father of the demon-possessed boy, we believe, Lord, but please help our unbelief. Look into each heart, Lord, and meet their uncertainties with your mercy and with your love. Help us all to be fully persuaded as to the truth of your word. Make our faith complete in you, and let the battle between belief and unbelief be a thing of the past. I pray that we will no longer be tossed around like the waves of the sea, but will be steadfast in fighting the good fight of faith. Lord, I thank you that you are perfect in power and you are perfect in love, that you can help, that you are willing to help, and that you have already done it on the cross at Calvary. Lord, this morning I pray for breakthroughs in healing. I pray for breakthroughs in deliverance from all demonic influences. I pray for addictions to be defeated in Jesus' name. I pray for relationships to be restored and families to be reunited. I pray for prodigals to return. I rebuke depression in Jesus' name. I rebuke fear and anxiety in Jesus' name. And I pray for perfect peace to be our portion. Lord, reach out and touch these people, Lord, with your mercy and your grace. Let double-mindedness then be a thing of the past. And I pray that we are fully convinced of your power and ability and your willingness to meet all our needs. Lord, everything is possible for those who believe. We believe, Lord. Please help our unbelief. And may we enter into a season of breakthrough, and may you receive all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, wasn't that good news? Well, it was good news. So I would like you all to read those accounts of the leper and the healing of the demon-possessed boy this week to remind yourselves of God's amazing mercy and love, and believe that you too can have breakthrough and victory with Christ. Amen. Yeah.